when you're the celebrant or the preacher of the mission, it's fun because as you look at the congregation, you see everyone's reactions. And when I told that little story about the trooper, I saw at least two, if not three of you nudge each other. So that means you might have been the one. I'm not sure, but who knows? We all have those adventures on the road, don't we? And we've all been that car that's the slow car, and we've all been that car that's the passing car. And so anyway, that, you know, to see things with new eyes, as that car did yesterday, saw things, realized it was the trooper that was the lead car, saw things with new eyes. John the Baptist sees Jesus Christ, his cousin, a family member, with new eyes in the gospel today. Think of this reality that John grew up with Jesus, Mary and Elizabeth have their meeting of the visitation, John leaps in Mary's womb, recognizes his Savior, his Lord, and the sanctifier of the world, and then they grow up together, John south of Jerusalem, Jesus north of Jerusalem in Nazareth, and they're telling stories, they're fishing, they're hiking, they're growing up together, and they're going to family reunions, they're going on pilgrimage together. And there's Uncle Bob who always tells the same story every Thanksgiving, and everybody loves him because he tells the same story every Thanksgiving. And it becomes old hat. It becomes routine. It becomes the same thing, and it becomes something that's familiar. And in the familiarity of it, it becomes kind of, you know, blasé maybe a little bit. And yet when John sees Jesus in the gospel today, he responds, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." It's not my cousin. It's not my buddy from family reunions. He recognizes that Jesus, his cousin, is the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, who can do the one thing no other human being can do. The one thing that no other human being can do, which is to free him and all of us from slavery to sin. You may have experienced the burden of that in some way in your own life, the slavery of the burden of sin. You know, we're all sinners, and so that's why we come to Mass, is because we're all broken. We're not bad, we're broken, and we come to Mass because we need a Savior. It's an acknowledgement of that. You know, there's those memories of maybe past events in your own timeline, where you wish you could go back and unroll the reel of that movie, undo the scene that took place. And the burden of that is something that we carry forward in our timeline. Or maybe it's something that you didn't do, that you weren't a part of it, but that was done to you by friends or neighbor or family or the world in some circumstance that was out of your control, that in the worst of those are the ones that catch us by surprise. And that's in the timeline of your life, and you wish that the pain of that, the woundedness of that, the uncomfortability of that, the alarm of that could be undone. The energy that you put into trying to get things back on track from that could be undone. And Jesus is the one who has the authority, the ability, the power to go back in our timelines and undo those things. Theologically, we call it a healing of memories. When Jesus reaches back into the timeline of an individual's life and frees that person of the burden of some of those sins or the sins of the world against them, Jesus has the authority to do that. That's why John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world." It's so powerful, those words from John, that it became a part of the Catholic Mass from ancient times. We say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us." "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us." "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Grant us peace." The peace that you seek, that I seek, that we seek, is a peace that only God can give, because God has authority over those things that we have no control of, but somehow seem to get control of us. Do you have something that's got control of you, something that's got a hold of you, some kind of darkness, disappointment, betrayal, bitterness that's sunk in on you, some kind of pessimism that's sunk in or crept in on your life, on your mindset, on your outlook? If you do, then you're not any different than the rest of us. If you do, then you, like me, know that we need a Savior to bring us out of that darkness and into the light, into living hope. What did John the Baptist recognize? That as much as he'd been in prison for Jesus, he sends his disciples to Jesus in his prison sentence and says, "Are you the one? Are you the Messiah?" And Jesus responds in the scriptures and in real life saying what? The lame walk, the blind see, the hungry get fed, the ignorant get educated. Look at the signs and see for yourself if I'm fulfilling the messianic prophecies of the Old Testament. Look for yourself and see if these signs correspond with the message and the life of a Savior in the world who can undo the things that human beings cannot undo. And if you see those signs, then the answer is yes, I am the Messiah. It's not Herod, it's not any worldly leader, it's not any earthly authority. It's Jesus, the Messiah, born in a manger just now at Christmas, incarnate, the Word made flesh, taking on our human condition. So he doesn't just watch us, he walks with us. And in doing that, he imbues within us this living hope. So what's the reason for a mission? Well, it's to draw us out of our own darkness, out of those tracks, out of those locks and bolts that we put on our lives. If you found in yourself, in this sermon, maybe a little suspicion creeping in, maybe a wall going up, maybe some insulation being built around your mind, your heart, maybe closing yourself off, that's not me, that's you. And the Holy Spirit doesn't want that for you. The Holy Spirit doesn't call you to that. The Holy Spirit calls you into the life of freedom. God, Jesus, wants to break through that wall and free you from the bias that you've placed in your own heart. And so this mission is aimed at doing a couple things. I was talking to a university student who was from Ireland over Christmas break. He was in the States visiting friends, and I said, "Well, tell me your story. How did you come to know Christ during your college years?" As you know, Ireland used to be a very Catholic country. Now it's a very secular country. They've rejected God at an immense degree, the percentage of the population that's ceased going to Mass. And so he said, "Well, you know, I went to university. I was in Dublin. I was an actuary, studying to be an actuary," he said. "And in that study, you know, lots of math, lots of hardcore formulas and stuff. I was living in the dorms, not very conducive to Catholic or Christian life. And I found myself feeling very alone. And then because I was alone, I started going home every weekend, taking the train from Dublin all the way across the country, a 2-hour trip almost over to Galway, which is on the other coast, on the west coast of Ireland. That was home. And as I would be on the train, everybody would have their earbuds in and they'd have their face in their screen. There was very little interaction, very, very minimal human interaction within the experience of that train ride." And he said, "But about 3/4 of the way through the year, I was on that train and I noticed there was a group of other university students and they were playing cards. And I wished I could be in that game of cards, and they turned to me and invited me into the game of cards. And so we started playing cards. And you know, how many of you are card players? Anybody here who's a card player? Okay, so about 30, 40% of us are card players. All right, I bet there's a few more gamblers out there that just didn't raise their hand. Well, he gets invited into this game. He's like, "I felt so alive. I felt accepted. I felt loved. I felt known. I felt like I had a new group of friends. I felt like there was a fellowship here." And not only did we stay in touch on that train ride, then we stayed in touch back on campus. I realized they were from the same school, and they were practicing Catholic Christians who were alive in their faith, who weren't so attached to their earbuds or to their screens that they had time to be friends with one another. They broke through and gave me living hope. And in that living hope, I came alive in Christ, because Christ, it was the source of their living hope. I wanted what they wanted, and what they had was a relationship with Christ. And their humanity was better, their behavior was different, and they were more alive than anyone I saw on campus. So what's the mission of the mission? The mission of the mission is for each of us, you and I, to see ourselves and our situation, our lives, through new eyes. Maybe you've fallen into a trap of saying, "This is the way I am. This is the way things will always be. I'll always do it this way. This is how things are." If you formulated any one of those lines for yourself, then you're in a trap that perhaps the Lord wants to free you from. And the other mission of a mission is to give ourselves permission to change, to adapt, to be a new person, as the psalm says today, to sing a new song in Christ Jesus. You are not sentenced to the life, to a life of despair, a life of withdrawal, a life of aloneness, maybe that you've sentenced yourself to in Christ. Christ wants to break through and give you permission to be a new person in 2023. You're not supposed to be the same person you were last year. You won't be the same person you'll be next year. You have the right as a son or daughter of the living God to be a new person. Is that on your heart? Then come to the mission. It gives you the ability, the power, the strength to release others from the heavy expectations that you've placed on them. As much as we love our family, as much as we love our friends, we can place heavy expectations on them, brick after brick, stone after stone, and we all of a sudden it's all built up, and we have no way to release them from the heavy burdens we've placed on them. They have a right to be new and to have new expectations, and maybe to be released from the burden that you and I place on them. And because they're close to us and we love them and we know that they won't abandon us, we expect more of them instead of less of them. That's why we do that to our loved ones, because they're close, because they're bound, because they're connected. And so maybe it's time to release them in your mind and heart to be new in your life. And finally, to invite God to lift the burdens that you and I place on ourselves. We all carry a backpack through our life, and in that we usually are picking up bricks and loading our own pack. We usually pick up rock and are loading up our own pack, burdening ourselves unnecessarily with things that we expect of ourselves and that we beat ourselves up with. We stone ourselves because we're disappointed in not reaching an expectation we have for ourselves. And we never stop to evaluate if that stone belongs in our backpack. Jesus wants to invite you to unload your backpack of the false stones, of those rocks that you're using to beat yourself up with because they don't belong in your backpack because you're a son or daughter of the living God. And Jesus died to set you free. He wants you to be free in 2023. And that's why we're having a mission this week. If you can't make it, maybe just try the first night if you can't do all three nights. And if you can't do that, then in this Mass, unload one rock. Pray for the grace that Jesus Christ gives you the ability to take one rock, one brick that you've put in your backpack and to unload it at the altar of Mass today. God bless you, and I look forward to being with you this week. The opening song for our mission is Don't Stop Believing. That's a pretty good rock song, don't you think? So come to the mission. Look forward to seeing you there. If you can make it, would be great to unload those rocks with you.